Eric Clapton, the famous musician, made a musical shift in the early 1990s with his song, Tears in Heaven. The song was written after the tragic death of Clapton's four-year-old son in 1991. You might remember it. It asks rhetorically, would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? This was a turn for a musician whose notoriety for his marital infidelities and the consequences of his drug addiction competed with his virtuoso guitar playing and his songwriting capabilities. Tears in Heaven was a massive hit. It won multiple Grammys, and a few years back, Rolling Stone magazine named it the saddest song of all time. Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven? Pastoral wisdom urges one to answer yes to both questions. In our reading, though, which is also about life, death, and the next world, we hear that Jesus' answer to the second question might be no, that things might not be the same in the next world. Regardless, Clapton's questions are fair ones, especially for a grieving father to ask. The Sadducees' questions, on the other hand, are unfair questions. They're trying to catch Jesus in a trap, trying to play the country bumpkin preacher as a fool. As the temple elite, they're trying to expose his shortcomings of his training. They don't mean the question to stand on its own merits. They mean to ridicule and demean Jesus. This question also has a stronger bite to it because 2,000 years ago, marriage and procreation occupied a different place in that culture. To further one's family and tribe occupied the highest of societal importance. To be unable to do so was looked on as a flaw and an aberration. Another added element of cruelty to this situation is that Jesus is answering this question about men who die childless, standing there himself, a celibate, childless man, before those who are about to strange this all is, this itinerant prophet preaching about a different type of family beyond the nuclear, beyond the biological. Jesus doesn't blink in the questioning. Jesus responds with patience and forbearance. He's willing to meet the Sadducees where they're at. The context from Moses' law that the Sadducees are referring to in the story is that the widow must be married to someone. This law was taken under the supposition that women need to belong to men, because otherwise they will be under threat. The supposition is that no one will take care of them without that marriage arrangement. That's the basis of the custom, if we're willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. And in today's English, we still have the idiomatic expression, you take someone as your wife. In our reading, that is literally what is being said. Each successive brother takes the wife, rather than our more vanilla translation to marry. Thus, the widow is taken seven times by each succeeding husband, brother, as a possession. We are not so removed from this time period to think that we've got this all figured out somehow. Here's a story from a recent funeral. It's a funeral for a man who had been married twice, with his first wife having died. An adult child from the first marriage. It's hard to keep track of all these relations. That was a part of the Sadducees' effort. An adult child from the first marriage said in the eulogy, now dad can be with mom. The second wife, understandably, was upset with this and asked her priest for an answer. She asked, "Who belongs to the man, me or his first wife?" The priest had this scripture in hand, and so he said, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage." The second wife asked, "Could you please explain what that means?" And he said, "Well, in the resurrection, you don't belong to anyone. You belong to God. At that place and time, we all belong to one another." That was better, but not completely satisfying, because it does not say you get exactly what you want. In other words, to answer Clapton's questions, things might not be the same. Behind Jesus' answer is a startling redefinition of personhood and identity in the next world, and by extension in this one. Jesus is answering that question, would it be the same, by saying, no, things will not be the same. Women will no longer be men's property. Jesus says it'll all be different in the resurrection. These questions don't apply here. Jesus is also arguing about this world, talking about the very real issues of marriage and procreation. Ultimately, Jesus' answer is a richer one, dare I say, than simply the idea of what the next world looks like. Jesus is saying, watch what God is up to via the resurrection. Watch how there will also be a new age coming towards us, one that does not feature the patriarchy that this one espouses. The Sadducees were terrified of all this, terrified of the notion of the resurrection, because it meant that the people opposing them, such as Jesus, had something beyond this world to look for and hope. Those types of people might be willing to take some serious risks about upending the status quo. They might be willing to lose it all, might be willing to endure past what they can see in this world. This example never was more clear, at least in my mind, than with the witness of the early church. Paul's letters in the history of the early Christians were all wrapped up in this idea of, should you get married or not? It wasn't so much about sex, it was more about, you don't need to get married because we, your Christian community, your Christian family, will take care of you. Previously, people said you need to get married because you don't trust the community. Jesus responds by saying protection and procreation isn't the final statement. That life, your life, will be valued and cared for in this world and in the next. Back to Clapton. As sometimes happens, Eric Clapton was able to use his art to channel his grief over his son. He eventually remarried to another wife, number three, if you're keeping track, like the Sadducees. And they have three children. He seems to have settled into that aging elder rock star statesman of the 60s and 70s. Seems ridiculous to ask him which of his wives would belong to him. He stopped playing the song Tears in Heaven recently because he said he doesn't feel the loss as profoundly anymore. He might pick it up. We know the answer to his question lies in Jesus' response to the Sadducees in our reading today, and it lies all throughout Scripture. In Corinthians, we hear that abundant life explodes boundaries. In Isaiah, we read that the sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. Most famously, in the book of Revelation, we read that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen.